Confess my transgressions to the Lord. Continually offended you, and barely deserved your punishment. from my heart, I am sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you, in your limitless mercy, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And if instead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
A little while, and you will see me no longer.
And again, a little while, and you will see me.
I will extol you, my God and King.
And bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord.
And all your saints shall bless you.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord.
And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Thank you. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts in the 8th chapter. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he arose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. And who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through, preached the gospel to all the towns, until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary.
Praise him in his mighty works.
Praise him for his mighty deeds.
Praise him according to his excellent greatness.
Praise him with trumpet sound.
Praise him with lute and harp.
Praise him with tambourine and dance.
Praise him with strings and pipe.
Praise him with sounding cymbals.
Praise him with loud crashing cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The second reading is from the first letter of St. John, the 4th chapter. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you shall know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is with you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not know love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is our text. This morning, our gospel reading from John 15, verses 1 through 8, is all about the vine and the branches. So I'd like to begin by tracing this theme of the vine and the branches all the way back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden, and then forward into our lives. And it goes like this, really simply. First the vine, then the branches, and finally the fruit. That's the way it worked in the garden back in the beginning. When the vine was true and all the branches were still attached, before there were storms, drought, disease, ruining the harvest and breaking the branches and killing the vine. First the vine, then the branches, and finally the fruit. Why, even after the fall into sin, we hear that two people carried a single cluster of grapes on a pole in the land of Canaan. So can you imagine what it was like before sin? It was a harvest of righteousness there in the Garden of Eden, a harvest of righteousness between two people, Adam and Eve, every moment, every day. So much fruit, the best fruit, so long as they remained living branches of the true vine. But of course they didn't. And I don't need to repeat that whole story to you. You know well how Adam and Eve became disattached. It started with the serpent, who grew up like a wild parasitic vine, and he wrapped himself around Eve, and he wrapped himself around Adam. And the serpent whispered in their ears and said to them, "Abide in me. Abide in me, and you won't have to bear any fruit. You'll just take it. Take the fruit. Take as much as you want, whenever you want, from whoever you want, wherever you want, just because you want. Take the fruit. Treat yourself, woman. Treat yourself, man. Stolen fruit is to die for." And so they took, they ate, and they died inside. And their lives became fruitless. Every moment, every day, so long as they remained dead branches of the false vine. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Why was he there? He was looking for something. He was looking for fruit, but he couldn't find any. Just leaves, leaves, lots and lots and lots of leaves, hiding a whole lot of nothing. Underneath, the branches were bare. Sometimes I feel like that. They were naked, without fruit, and ashamed. And it was only a matter of time until the leaves withered and the branches started just dropping off and the family tree became barren, filled with death instead of life. God had made a garden alive and fruitful. Man turned it into a desert, dead and fruitless. And after that fall into sin, they sweat and they suffer, but what do they bear? Sin. Nothing but sin. You may know the saying that you can't squeeze juice out of a turnip. You also can't get fruit from a dead branch. And that about sums up the entire Old Testament. It's the story of God planting a people and replanting that people and grafting branches onto that vine, only to watch them cut themselves off. You tell me, what branch says to the vine, "I don't need you, get lost"? And yet that's what God's people said to him. It was like a never-ending ice storm. Sin just stripped the vine of its branches again and again and again. until the land was littered with dead branches and no fruit. But there in the Garden of Eden, God had planted another seed after Adam and Eve sinned. A little seed, tiny little seed, just waiting to germinate and sprout. The seed of the woman. That seed would crush the serpent's head. How long could such a seed survive, especially in a barren world like this one? How long can that seed lie hidden and dormant? 1,000 years? 2,000 years? More? And what kind of seed would it be? Because that new seed can't come from the same old stock, the same old diseased and fruitless stock. That wouldn't do any good. This seed had to be different, an undefiled, holy, and divine seed. So there could be a new vine, undefiled, holy, and divine. So God planted his own son in the womb of Mary. She conceived and bore that son and gave him the name of Jesus, and he grew up and bore good fruit, true fruit, beautiful fruit. He gave life, and he gave health, and he gave wholeness to those around him. And he gathered a people to himself. And that's when we hear the reading from tonight, from today. It was the darkest night that the world has ever known, and Jesus had the vine, had his branches gathered around him, and he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches, in me you bear much fruit." And then came the hardest part. The hardest part of all, because for all the fruitless, lost, dead branches, that vine had to be dug up, cut out, staked up, trellised, and planted again, this time in the ground. Now, in the place where he was crucified, John tells us there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So they laid Jesus there. They planted him in a garden, and they left him for dead. Of course, they should have known, right? They should have known the gardens aren't for dead things, but for living things. But they forgot. And while they slept and rested and slept, something happened. The vine rose again on the third day. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He rose again with new life. He rose ready to receive old, dead branches into himself, ready to let his sap run through them and give them life and bear fruit that you thought was impossible. First the vine, then the branches, and finally the fruit. That's the way it works in the vineyard, the way it works when the vine is true and the branches are attached. Life and health flow from the vine to the branches, and they bear fruit. And that's good enough, I guess, if all you want is a little fruit. A few grapes here and a few grapes there. Just let it go. But our Father in heaven is the gardener, and he won't settle for branches that only bear a grape every now and then. He won't settle for branches where he finds leaves, lots and lots of leaves, hiding a whole lot of nothing. He wants his branches to bear not just fruit, but much fruit, for the whole world to be filled and fruitful and overflowing with good. God the gardener wants the branches to bear much fruit, but I fear that sometimes we're content to settle for a whole lot less. Are you satisfied with mediocre fruit, or no fruit, or bad fruit in your life? Because I can tell you right now that God isn't satisfied with it, which means that he isn't done with you or with me yet. He won't settle for less, not from his branches, not from those who have his strength and his sap flowing through them. You see, this isn't just about rooting out sin. It's about the Father tending the vine so that it bears good fruit and brings forth good works in your life and in mine. And he does this by tending and by pruning, by cutting away and by forcing new growth. So are you willing to be pruned that you might bear more fruit? Are you willing to have the dead wood cut out, to have the dry branches in your life burned, to have strong manure fertilizing you? Do you want to be strong, healthy, mature, fruit-bearing branches, or are you content to be small, weak branches? So what needs pruning in your life? You probably know, at least a little bit. Is it your language that needs to be pruned? Is it your thoughts and desires that are soiled with sin? Is it your lovelessness, your harshness, your judging of others that needs to be cut back and trimmed off? And then what of the good, wholesome, beautiful thoughts, words, and actions for which you were created? God expects and desires and longs for good fruit, and he won't be finished with you until he has it. He created this world. He created you to be fruitful and full of life. So God would not only work in your life to prune away what is bad and dead, but he would work in your life. He would fill you with his own life, with the sap that comes from him, that you might bear much fruit. So what is it that cleans us? What is it that prunes us? What is it that gives us life? Already you are clean, Jesus says, because of the word I have spoken to you. If you want to bear much fruit, then abide in him and abide in his word, and let his word be at work in your life. Let it dig into the corners. Let it fertilize the barren places. Let it grow and strengthen you from outside in. Any attempt to bear good fruit apart from Christ, any attempt to bear good fruit outside of him is simply fruitless. If we depend on ourselves, the fruit will never be good. So find your refuge and your strength in him. Come and receive the word of your Lord. Hear that absolution and let that bear fruit in your life. Your sins are forgiven. Come to the altar where the vine that bore good fruit and was crushed for you gives its very life into your mouth that you may live in him. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is why you are here this morning, because you know this. You feel this, you see this in your life, that apart from Christ, you can do nothing. And so you are here to abide in him. You are here to be connected to his life and his salvation and his forgiveness and his promise, that you might bear much fruit and bring glory to the Father and so prove that you are his disciples. First the vine and then the branches and finally the fruit. And don't despair, dear brothers and sisters. Don't despair if you look at your life and see so much that you wish were there that isn't. Because know this, that as it was in the beginning, so it will be in the end. As it was before sin, so it will be after sin. And there will be an after sin. I promise you that. Jesus died to sin once for all, and he lives now for us. So your future in Christ, dear brothers and sisters, is this: a future of being always and wholly connected to the vine, of abiding in him permanently and forever. And then every moment, every day, for all eternity, so much fruit, the best fruit, as you remain a living branch of the true and living vine, Jesus Christ. God grant this for his sake. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have grafted us onto the vine of your Son. Prune us and cut off from us all sin and dead works, that we may always draw life from your Son and produce the fruits of faith and good works. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your only Son came in the flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. Protect us from all false teaching and the spirit of the Antichrist, that we may always confess Christ to be our only true God and remain faithful to him. Lord, in your mercy. Father and teacher of all truth, guide teachers and catechumens in your word, that they may increase in understanding, faith, and love for Christ, the Lamb, led to the slaughter in our place and risen from the dead. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the harvest, you have heard our prayers to send laborers into the field. Bless seminarians Timothy Schmeiser, Andrew Simpson, Joshua Schiff, and Tyler McMiller, their families, and the congregations and missions they are called to serve, that your word would bear much fruit in our nation and around the world. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, give health and guidance to our president and all in authority, that they may serve honorably and in accord with your good order. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, life is a gift from you. Be with all expectant mothers, especially Nika Sharon, Jessica Pasco, Celeste Brooks, Abby LaBear, and their unborn children, as well as all children in danger of abortion. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you hear and answer your children in the hour of need. Give aid to Jared Blaze, Nancy Roberts, and Ron Smith recovering from surgeries, Randy Hunter undergoing a procedure, Pastor Bill Swirla undergoing surgery, Albert and Lois Doskasil in his hospital stay, Lester Zelt, Alicia Reinhardt, Zachary and his parents, Diane Albert, Maury Albert, Marilyn Arsenault, Anne Blaze, Pat Courtwright, David Dexter, Matt DeBara, Kay Emmerich, and Bobby Ewing. Grant that they would bear their crosses with faith, ever looking to you, and so fix their hearts where true joy is found. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are love, and always reveal your love through your Son. Grant that all who come to your feast of love may worthily eat of Christ's body and blood, so that whoever abides in this love forever abides in you and you in him. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Hear and answer our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ, and your saints shall bless you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be constantly enabled to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.